So we want to continue to fellowship. So we will go on. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Okay, so let's go on to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And let's read this verse all together.
You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So this morning we saw the first half in the matter of that we are the living stones. Right? These are stones. We have been born of the Spirit.
Yes.
We are in the heavenly realm.
Amen.
And we are being built up a spiritual house. So today, the church, which is the heavenly Jerusalem, as the dwelling place of the living God, what do you do in the house? Right. This is the real question we need to ask. You know, I was speaking to this person, we were getting off the plane in Vancouver, and we were walking through customs and then to pick up our baggage. And she's a Christian, and she was asking about the conference. And long story short, in this short 15 minutes going through the line, eventually I got to the point. I said, "So what do we do in the Father's house?" And she paused for a minute. And she said, "Okay, if it's not the sermons, if it's not the singing, if it's not the donations, then it must be the offerings." I said, "Very good, the offerings." And she says, "Well, this is what they did in the Old Testament, so that means it must be the offerings." But then, of course, her question is, "So does that mean you're going to be bringing on all these animals to the meeting hall?" And I said, "Of course not." And we brought her to this verse, and she goes, "Ah, Christ is the reality of all the spiritual sacrifices." Very simple. What is it that we bring into the house of the living God? It is the spiritual sacrifices. This is why I appreciate Peter. He's so economical in his words in the New Testament. Right? The Lord is economical in his word. He already spent all of the books of Moses to detail the true worship, or what he wants in the worship. But now in the New Testament, it's summarized in one verse here. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So if we see that this is what the Father wants, then now we need to enter into what is it then? What are the spiritual sacrifices? We come to the church meetings. The Father wants his spiritual sacrifices, the offerings. Then we have to find out, "Father, what is the spiritual sacrifices?" And so praise the Lord for the Word, the Holy Scripture. From Genesis to Malachi, we have to see the details. Right? And it's been so good. Today we don't have many meetings to speak about the offerings. That would be a conference by itself, and that hopefully will be the conference in July. But we want to give you just a taste of what is the offerings.
Yes.
Right? What is the offerings? And practically speaking, how can we begin to apply Christ as all of the spiritual sacrifices?
Amen.
But first of all, we do need to realize that Christ is the reality of all of the sacrifices outlined in Leviticus, chapter 1 through chapter 7. If you want the details of what these offerings are, you have to read those seven chapters at least to understand what was spoken to God's people in the Old Testament. But, praise the Lord, Christ is the reality. And how do we know? If we turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. Let's read this all together. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. Let's read this together. Therefore,
when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifices and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we can see now that Christ was the one who fulfilled everything and also replaced it. Right? That's why it says he takes away the first that he may establish the second.
Amen.
By that which ye have been sanctified through what? The offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen.
That means what he accomplished on the cross was once for all. Every aspect, everything of all the offerings, the five main offerings, have been already accomplished by Jesus Christ once for all. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Otherwise, today we will have to bring in multiple animals. And then it's not possible to do that, right? The real worship is what? In spirit and reality.
Amen.
It must be definitely in the spirits. God is spirit, and we have been born of God. And the reality here, again, is Christ as the substance. So if Christ is the substance, then we have to realize then all of these offerings that we have seen in Leviticus must be already fulfilled by Christ.
Amen.
And today it is for us to apply in our daily life.
Yes.
And when we apply Christ as all of these offerings, and it causes a change within us. That change then we bring as an offering to the Father.
Amen.
This is what will satisfy the Father.
Yes.
This, when I heard this for the first time back in July, all of a sudden everything clicked. I realized, it's not just that we experience the Lord in such a general way and He's gracious to me, but it's in the applying of Christ as one of these offerings that results in a change in my life.
Amen.
The key here is the change in your life, that we are being transformed a little bit more. And we bring this to the Father.
Yeah.
This is what will satisfy Him.
Yes.
Right? When you consider all of the matters that the Lord wants to change in our lives. There's so many things the Lord wants to change in our lives. How is He going to change it? Does He change it by that we just listen to sermons week after week after week after week? And then as soon as the meeting is over, we forgot. And we go, the next 6.5 days, no change. It cannot be. This is why we said the offerings cannot be faked, because it results, it causes change in our lives. Right? And so this is the key point. Now, but then what is the offerings? And again, we just only have a short time, so I'll briefly go through the five main offerings.
Amen.
The first offering is the matter of the burnt offering.
Yes.
And with the burnt offering, of course, in Leviticus, the entire offering, except for the skin of the ox, is just burnt to the crisp. So that there is just the sweet aroma to the Father.
Yeah.
Well, today, what man has given himself completely up to God the Father.
Jesus Christ.
Only one man, and this man is Jesus Christ. How many of us have given our entire being to God our Father? Right? We always pray, Lord, I give myself to you completely. We even have a wonderful song about that. But practically speaking, have we really given ourselves 100% complete to the living God?
10%.
Maybe 10%.
Maybe 5.
Right? 10%, 5%. I mean, how many of us are so confident to say how many percent, right? But only one man has done this. Who was 100% for God. And this man was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why after he was baptized, and even after he was transfigured, the voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son,
Amen.
In whom I am well pleased." This is Christ as the burnt offering.
Amen.
Right? And when he came onto this earth, what did he come to do?
The will of the Father.
Exactly. He came to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
You know, when you read John chapter 4, same chapter, chapter 4, but you go a little bit later, what does he say? Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So the Lord not only is 100% absolute for God the Father, he came to do it and to finish.
Amen.
To finish the task.
Yes.
He wanted to finish the Father's will.
Yeah.
Right. So how many of us are like this? How many of us want to do the Father's will? You consider in the church life. I'll just get to the point. Many times we only want to do up to a certain point. Actually, we do what's convenient for us in the church life. Yes, we need to deny our soul life, but only when it's convenient. Only if it suits my purpose. Right? And you think about how we handle the church life. Do we handle the church life in this kind of a way? Out of our convenience. Oh, this word is too hard. The matter of coming, not coming empty-handed. That's too hard. But what does the Father want? Right? It's not about what Sam or I want. What does the Father want? I mean, how many of us ever come to the meeting saying, do I have something to bring? Otherwise, Sam and John might get upset. Well, I don't know. I don't know what goes on in your head. Maybe you might think that. I know when I was much younger and I came to the meeting, I didn't have something ready. I was going, what are the elders going to think of me? But who is it that we are satisfying? We're satisfying the Father, right? And so again, this matter of coming to do the Father's will. The question is, are we doing the Father's will? And this becomes very practical, brothers and sisters. You consider all the details in our lives. How often is it that the Father tells us to do something, and we just say, no? Right? We know that we live in death, right? If we live in the flesh, we will die. We know when we're in our death condition, but we also know Christ is resurrection life, right? We just had many weeks talking about the Feast of the First Fruits. But when it comes right down to it, and you're in death, and you know Christ is life, and even the Father says, choose life. Will you choose life? And it's at that point when we have no desire to choose it, we take Christ as our burnt offering. Lord, right now, in myself, I don't want to do this. I don't want to turn. But I want to take Christ as my burnt offering. To turn, to be obedient to the Father.
Amen.
Right. Living a life that is absolutely one with the Father. Christ said, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Are we this one with the Father? Again, practically speaking, we have to consider in our daily life and in our family life and in the church life, are we one with the Father or are we one with just one another? I was shocked with that statement.
Yeah.
1,000 wrongs, but if we keep the oneness, then that's right?
It's wrong. It's still wrong.
It's still wrong.
Yeah. 1,000 right,
right.
Wrong, it's wrong.
The only time we will be right is if we are one with the Father.
Yes.
Are we really one with the Father when it comes to the practical matters in the church life? This is what I'm saying. It's out of our convenience that we do things for the Father. Right. And then being obedient even unto the death of Christ. Right, this is what the Lord was obedient. That's why we saw in Philippians chapter 5, verse 8. He was even obedient to the point of death. Of the cross. Right. Today, if the Father has shown us clearly that the true worshipers must bring the offerings to the Father at the time of the feast, the Lord's table. If we really see this, then would we be even obedient to the Father to the point of being persecuted by the brothers and the sisters in the meetings for bringing the offerings? Who are we afraid of? Are we afraid of the saints who don't want to talk about the offerings? Or are we afraid of the Father? This is the burnt offering, brothers and sisters. If we really want to experience the burnt offering, then this is what we must do. In those situations, are we willing even to deny our soul life? Willing to deal with all the persecutions? Stop. Don't talk about it anymore. No. Are we willing to obey the Father at this point? Right. Christ has done this. So if we take Christ as our burnt offering, then even our being will begin to be transformed.
Amen.
The more we take and apply Christ as the burnt offering, the more the Lord will change us. We'll be transformed more and more so that we also eventually will become obedient to the Father in every matter. Right? When I react with Sarah or Jasmine or my wife, we already know. I already know that I need to turn because I trespassed. But knowing is one thing, but doing it is another thing. I realize I need to obey the Father. So I have to actually take Christ as the burnt offering. I want to obey the Father.
Yeah.
This is the point. We know so much. This is what I realize. We know so much in the church life, but we are not obeying the Father. So we need Christ as our burnt offering. Right? Even the way we think, our minds, we talk about having the mind of Christ. Has our mind been renewed by the Spirit? Have our thoughts been taken captive by Christ, or has our thoughts been betrayed? Right? We just sit there and we're thinking and we think and we think and we think. And eventually, when we were already obedient to the Father, our thoughts causes us not to be obedient to the Father. So even taking Christ, Lord, you must take captive my thoughts and my mind. Right? So the matter of being obedient to the Father, right? Every time we come into a situation where we need to obey the Father, we have an opportunity to take Christ as the burnt offering. To apply Him in that moment to cause change in our lives. But then it goes on, the matter of the meal offering.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the meal offering.
Yes.
And this is the unleavened bread made out of fine flour, mingled with oil, salted with salt, and there is seasoned with frankincense, and there is no leaven and no honey in it. And this is actually the majority of the meal offering is for us to eat, the priests to eat. Who is this unleavened bread today? Jesus Christ. That's why in John chapter 6, how many times did it say in John chapter 6, I am the bread that came down from heaven. This is the heavenly bread. And the fine flour is the fine humanity of Christ. We all realize that our humanity is not so fine. We're actually very rough. We don't deal with matters with the fine humanity of Christ. You consider so many things that we do in our daily life that we can begin to take Christ as the meal offering. From the time we wake up. Right? Now think about this. The Father, the Lord Jesus, when he rose from the dead and he had an appointment with the Father, he ascended to the Father. What did he do with his grave garments, particularly the handkerchief? Did he just, I have an appointment with the Father, so I'm going to throw this off in the corner and then rush off to the Father? What did he do with it? He folded it, took care of it. Right? So in the morning, you get up and you overslept and you're running late. You have an appointment to run to, and what do? Throw my pajamas to the side and leave my bed unmade and rush out of the room to go, to start the day. But this is an opportunity to begin to experience Christ already from the beginning, the time we wake up, as the meal offering. Even just in these little matters. Right? You might not realize that these little things, if the Lord is able to change us, to transform us, this will affect us in many other things. Amen. If this is how we treat our bedroom, then how do we treat our house? And if this is how we treat our house, then how will we take care of the house of the living God? So the meal offering is very practical in our daily life. How we speak to one another. How did the Lord speak to so many people? Right. So many times, the disciples forgot what the Lord said. How many times did he have to remind Peter the same thing over and over again? And how did the Lord react with his disciples? I realize, every time something happens with the girls at the house, and I react, and then after I react and we're both mad and I realize, then the Lord shines in my heart. This is how you are, John, when I tell you something. How does the Father react? And how did the Lord deal with the disciples? And I have to repent and I realize, I need the experience. I need to apply Christ as my meal. And just raising your children. And how I spend my time with my wife. How do I speak to her? Our marriage cannot just be built up on good advices. Right? There's lots of books about having marriage. Lots of counseling for marriage. But you know what? All the books in the world will not change Sharon and I. The only thing that would change my wife and I is Christ as the meal offering.
Amen.
The living bread from heaven. This is why we both need to eat Christ.
Yes.
As the bread. Because it is only through Christ that we both can get changed. That our humanities will be refined with the fine humanity of Christ. And when the Lord is able to deal with so many things in our daily life, then eventually the Lord can also affect change in the church life.
Amen.
If our humanity is so rough at home with one another, then how do you think it'll be when we come together in church life? Okay, maybe in the meeting it's nice, we all sit properly, we're dressed nicely, but inside, it's not so fine. And maybe Vince shares something, and in our hearts, we're going, oh, what's this? Well, you know, I mean, already, the fine humanity of Christ needs to be affected in all of our lives. This is where the change happens, right? And even the matter of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. There's so many details. We just, unfortunately, we don't have the time to get into all the details. But I want to give you the taste that this is practical. It really is practical.
Yeah, amen.
Now, the one thing I will mention is the matter of the honey. What is the honey? The honey is the sweet stickiness of the bread. I didn't realize, Maria, one thing she doesn't like about American breads is it's sweet. Right? I never thought about American bread being sweet. But the point is there is no honey in the unleavened bread. What is this honey? It is our natural relationships. You know, my natural relationship with Sharon will only go so far. Because in our flesh, eventually we'll drive each other crazy. Not with the big things, just with the little things. Finish the task. Where does it go? The keys. I can't find the keys. These are little things, right? I mean, we all have these little things. But you know what? If we rely on our natural relationship, then there's no way. In the end, we'll have problems. It'll cause death. We might be mad at each other. Yes, we're still married, but we're mad at each other. There's no life. There's no real oneness. Now, can you imagine that in the church? Being built up in natural relationships. Right? When the trials will come, what are you going to do? The Lord today is speaking about prepare the offerings. But my parents tell me, that's too hard. It's already hard enough for me to bring a testimony, and now you're telling me to bring an offering? Stop. Don't bring the offerings. Now, as a child, Sarah is a first year in college. What are you going to tell me if I said, stop with the offerings?
Stop disobeying the father.
Stop disobeying. But I'm your father. You need to listen to me.
There is a greater father.
Right? Do you see the problem? If we live in a natural relationship, if there is any natural relationship, then when the trials come in the churches, we will either follow our parents, we will follow our best friends, or we will follow the majority of the saints. This is so clear. This is what I've experienced so many times growing up, from the time I was in high school until now. When I graduated from the universities and the Lord made a very clear decision in me to come out of the system of LSM. Can you imagine? All of the young people I grew up with, the ones who I considered very good friends, we went to war together for the gospel, preached the gospel, for the building up of the church. And graduating, I was at the point, you know, once you finish, you start a career, you can even get married. All the ones who were potentials, all left. I mean, not left, they stayed in the LSM. But the Lord said, come out. What am I going to do?
Keep the oneness.
Yes, keep the oneness, right? So I stay there. No. This is what I'm saying. There cannot be any honey. No leaven. I mean, no honey in the church. This is a serious matter. How can the church be built if there's honey? Right? How can the church be built if there's honey?
Very sticky situation.
Yes, it becomes a very sticky situation.
That's the flesh sticking together.
Right. The flesh is sticking together. So this is why we need Christ as our meal offering, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
We need to really see this.
Yes.
And the Lord, if the Lord does not show us now, he will come and test us, whether now or later. Right? Now I can really appreciate what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 10. He says, if you love your father and your mother, your children more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciples. And then the Lord is even stronger in Luke 14:26, where he says, if you do not even hate your father, hate your mother, your wife, your children, as yes, yourself, you're not my disciple. This is a natural relationship. Right? So, is Christ practically really our meal offering? Have we applied them in our daily life today? Right. And 11. A lot was already spoken about the church being heavenly. Hypocrisy. Remember, the leaven of hypocrisy. There is no hypocrisy in this meal offering. The leaven of malice and wickedness. There cannot be that. This is why if there's so many lies going on in the church, how can you call that the church? That's why it needs to be purged, right? I'm not talking about the Feast of the Unleavened Bread yet, but that we'll talk about tonight. But the point is, there is no leaven in the meal offering. And the question is, are we taking Christ as our meal offering? In the church life, there cannot be any cover-ups. It's hypocrisy. We might sit in a meeting and we might be pleasant with one another, but there's a cover-up going on.
For the sake of oneness.
For the sake of oneness. There's a cover-up. Right? Can you see how Christ is really the only one as the meal offering? And can you also see why we need now Christ as the meal offering? How can we put that aside? How can we say that the Father doesn't want the meal offering? How can we say we cannot prepare for the meal offering? Because this is the very fabric of our human living, our humanity, and it affects the church life. It affects our family life. It affects the people we're around. We want more true worshipers to come into the church, but how can they come in if there's all this leaven, all this honey? Right? I've heard some new ones say in the past, why is it that this one group of saints hang out together and nobody talks to me? And they're new. They can see the leaven. They can really see the leaven and the honey in the church. So, we have to experience Christ. We have to take Christ as the meal offering to cause change in our humanity. For the church to become satisfying to the Father, we need to take Christ as the meal offering.
Amen.
Right. And then, of course, the peace offering. Now I have to go through fast with the other offerings. The peace offering. Christ himself is our peace.
Amen.
Right. And the short end of this is, do we have peace with God? For there to be peace amongst us, we must firstly have peace with God our Father.
Yeah.
And it is through Christ as the peace offering that he reconciled us back to God. And it is through Christ as the peace offering that broke down all the walls of separation.
Amen.
In Ephesians, it's between the Jews and the Gentiles. But for us today, practically, as the peace offering, the Lord has broken down all the walls between all of us.
Amen.
The question is, do we really have the peace with God our Father? When we have an argument with one another, we have a disagreement, The real question is, do we have peace with God? Have we checked with the Father? If we really have peace with God, then how can we not have peace with one another? Why would the Father tell you one thing, keep the offerings, and why would he tell this brother to oppose the offerings? If we really have peace with the Father, then there will be the real fellowship with the Father, and then we will know what is on his heart. But if there is no peace with the Father, then we will never have peace amongst one another. And again, this is very practical. How many of us want peace in your household? Right? In our own household. We all want peace, right? Zoltan, you're married now. You want peace in the household, right? And then you're traveling with your mother. You want peace on the trip, right? Yeah. That's very practical. Christ as our peace offering. If we have peace with the Father, then there will be peace in the car as you drive down. And then later on when you go on in your trip. Right. And of course, if we have peace, then we will have peace in the church. Yeah. Very practical. Then, oh yeah, and in fact, this is the one verse that I've been enjoying these past weeks. Is in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. It says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." May the Lord of peace give you peace always. Not sometimes, but always. And not in some ways, but in every way. Right? If there's unrest in the family, if there's unrest in the church, this is an opportunity for us to take Christ as the real peace offering. Because if we do take Christ as the peace offering, then we have to be reconciled to God. But our problem is we're not willing to do this. We're not willing to put off the old man. I'm right. No, you're right. Everybody thinks they're right. Doing their own things. And again, nobody's checking with the Father. Father, are you satisfied? Right. And then the sin and the trespass offering. The sin offering is to deal with the source of sin. And the trespass offering is to deal with the fruit of sin. That's why in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not sins. The sin of the world. And the Lord has dealt with the source. This is why we always encourage all the ones who have received the Lord to be baptized. Because baptism gives us the beginning of such a practical experience. It's not just that we were baptized into the death of Christ, but it's knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. How many of us are tired of making the same mistake over and over and over again? I get tired of it. I go, "Lord, why did I mess up again? Why did I disobey you again in the same matter?" Because I haven't yet realized to take Christ as my sin offering to deal with the very source of sin. Because we should experience. I mean, otherwise, why would the scripture say that we should no longer be slaves of sin? Do we want to experience that we would no longer be slaves of sin?
Amen.
I want to be free from that. Yes. Then I need to take Christ as my sin offering.
Amen.
Right. When I was on the job, many times, when customers call in, and I know they're calling in because they're upset about things, and I want to react and get defensive for the company, How dare you say that about my company? And because you're, you know, when you're in technology, you're a systems engineer, you're always wanting to show that you're right. And you're always, you know, you're always like in your face when you're talking to other techies. Because they're always in your face. And it was just always drove me nuts whenever that happened. And I didn't want to get into those types of things. So many times I had to turn to the Lord. I didn't realize I was taking Christ as my sin offering, but I said, Lord, right now, I do not want that kind of a conversation. Before I pick up that phone, I want you to be lived through me. Right? And there's so many areas in our life to take Christ as the sin offering. But if we do sin, we trespass. Praise the Lord. We have Christ as our trespass offering. That's why it says, if we confess what? Our sins. Then he is what?
Faithful and to
forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right. Thank you, the Lord. Thank the Father for giving the Lord as a trespass offering. So very quickly, we can turn back by confessing, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for reacting again with my daughters or my wife. I need to take you as my trespass offering.
Amen.
And Lord, I also need you as my sin offering so I don't repeat that same reaction. Right. So, the Lord is very practical in all of these offerings.
Yes.
Right. And I appreciate very much the sequence of the offerings.
That's right.
You know, if you think about it, from my perspective, again, my perspective, for my benefit, I would rather see first the trespass offering, because we experience this the most, and then the sin offering, because we realize we can't repeat the same mistake, and then the peace offering, because we want peace, and then, oh yeah, we need our humanity refined, so then we finally can serve the Father. I don't know if you noticed that. That's kind of how we think. But I appreciate the sequence of the offering. The offering is for who?
The Father.
For the Father. Not for me, but it's actually for the Father. And so the very first offering is what? To be absolutely 100% for the Father. To be obedient to the Father. To be one with the Father. And then we realize when we want to be for the Father, we need the strength. And we need the transformation of the meal offering. And as we live in this way, we would have peace with God our Father, peace with all the saints. But yes, we have this sinful flesh. So Christ was the sin offering to deal with it. So we would no longer be slaves of sin. So we could serve the Father. And if we do trespass, then he covers the very last part, which is the matter of the trespasses. But to see the sequence of the offerings, I realized that this really is for the Father and not for me. I need to apply Christ. God is wise because he wants us to be changed. He wants us to be transformed, perfected, matured. And the more we labor on prepare Christ as all of these offerings, the spiritual sacrifices, this is what will change us.
Amen. Right.
And then the question is, where do we bring the offerings? Where do we bring the offerings? Deuteronomy chapter 16 was very chapter 12 said very clearly, take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses. That means we cannot bring the best of the best, our offerings to the Father, in any place. We cannot just bring it to any place. This is why it was important earlier in the first meeting to see what is the place that the Father has chosen. We cannot bring the burnt offering to just any old place, any denomination down the streets. No, we have to bring it to where the Father desires, the place he has chosen. This is why it was important earlier in the first meeting to see what is the right place. What is the place that the Father has chosen? And then we need to also realize, when do we bring the offerings? There's an appointed time. In the Old Testament, 3 times a year, keep the feast. And tonight we will speak more about the feasts. It's embodied in today, the Lord's table, to keep the feast. This is the time to bring the offerings. And it should be all the males who appear before the Lord, meaning those who are spiritually strong. Right? We have to be exercised in the Spirit. And then it says, none shall come empty-handed. And you might be thinking, now what is my offering? What can I bring? So I ask you this question. Last week, how many of us committed a trespass? We all committed a trespass. And how many did you at least one time confess to the Lord for the trespass? Okay, so if you all at least done that, then you already have one offering. The trespass offering. Is it that hard to prepare an offering for the Father? Actually, it isn't. Many times we have prepared the offering. But sometimes we just forget. And this is why the app was so important to help us. You know, when I was preparing for the conferences and I was considering all the different, because the saints wanted to know practically what are some of the experiences of all of these offerings. That app came in handy because I was able to go back and go through some of the offerings that I brought to the Father in the past weeks. It's good to quickly jot it down. And now we have this app both on the iPhones and the Android phones. So it doesn't matter which phone you have, you can quickly put in your offering.
Amen.
And at the end of the week, go through it all and pick the best and bring that to offer to the Father at the appointed time. And the last thing I want to mention is the offering, you have to realize, this is God's food. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 11, tells us, and the priest shall bring them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. The offerings is for God. It's eating. He wants his food. We're always thinking about our own food. What am I getting fed with? But have we ever considered that our God, the Father, he also wants his food? And so the offerings is for the Father to eat, to enjoy. It's for his satisfaction. Right? So may the Lord really begin to change our mindset. Again, all of the offerings. Why would the offerings be so hard? This is the Father's food. This is what the Father wants. And hopefully we've given you enough practical examples on how you can begin to apply Christ as all of these offerings. This is what causes ultimately the change in us. We all will be transformed. And when we bring this to the Father will really be satisfied.
Amen.
And if the Father is satisfied, then I believe we all will be satisfied.
For sure.
Right? At the end, we will all be able to eat and enjoy with the Lord in Jerusalem at the feast. So, may the Lord really give us a fresh seeing of Christ as the reality, as the substance of all of the offerings. And it's for us to apply, for us to prepare, so that we can all bring this to the Father.
Amen.
At the feast, so he would be satisfied.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father God. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Are we all going to have lunch here?
Not today.
Not today.
Tomorrow, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Then just give me another 5 minutes.
First of all, you have to realize that the offerings are demanded by God. Not by any man. It's what God has prescribed to let us know what kind of an offering you must bring to Him. And Christ is the reality, the fulfillment, and the full replacement of every one of these offerings. This is very clear in the book of Hebrews. Right. So today, He is the spiritual reality. He is the spiritual sacrifice, replacing the animal sacrifices, replacing all of the shadows, all of these types, figures, the types. Right. Doesn't mean that we don't need to offer anymore, no. But we don't offer like what they did in the Old Testament times. And they have to do it slaying the animals again and again. Well, we don't have to slay Christ again and again. Because the blood of the ox and the sheep and the goats cannot remove sin. Right? But Christ died once for all. Only once. He doesn't have to do it again and again and again, because His precious blood could cleanse all of our sins. So He only need to die how many times?
One time.
Right. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us, it is impossible to bring Christ down again from heaven and re-crucify Him. Can you do that? No. Not only you don't have to do that, you cannot do that even if you want to. It's stupid to do that. And nobody is stupid enough to do that, nor capable to do that. No, nobody. Yeah. But you need to day by day experience what He has accomplished for you. Right? Or not? You don't need to experience Christ anymore? Always. Why? You already died once and that's it. You are already saved. You're already wonderful, right? No, you're not. So you have to day by day experience the spiritual reality of this wonderful Christ as the substance of all of these offerings.
Amen.
Now, which offering do you appreciate the most?
Burnt offering.
You're sure of that? Very good. Very good. That doesn't mean that you're perfect now and you're 100% for the Father. No. But this is the first thing you need to learn.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You should have no problem asking the Lord for forgiveness or confession of sins or to cleanse your conscience, don't you? Don't you do that? Yes. Automatically you do that. But I don't see anybody automatically thinking he wants to live a life that is 100% for the Father's will. You do that automatically? And if you're not doing the Father's will, do you repent? And say, oh Father, I'm sorry, I'm going to take Christ as my burnt offering and learn to live a life that is absolutely obedient to you. Do you do that all the time? Not automatically, because you don't have that concept. Because you don't know Leviticus chapter 1. And don't let people tell you, you don't have to prepare a burnt offering and, you know, well, the Father knows. If you don't even know, how should the Father know? Yeah, the Father knows you don't have that offering. You don't have the offering that the Father knows. It's crazy to say, oh, you don't have to bring an offering. The Father knows. Yeah, you know what the Father knows? The Father knows you don't have a burnt offering for him. That's what he knows. People use all kinds of strange reasons to stop people from bringing the offerings to the Father. Oh, it says you have to bring the best offerings of the first fruit to the Father. Right? And it's only for the Father. Hey, what if you met some of your friends and he needs that experience of yours right at this very moment? Oh, no, I cannot give it to you because I'm going to give it to the Father. That's kind of a hellish argument. It sounds, you can only fool children with that. You cannot fool me with that. You can only fool yourself with that and fool children with that. Why make such a strange make-up of a story, to bring somebody away from bringing a burnt offering to the Father? Who would give you such a suggestion as an argument against bringing an offering to the Father? Tell me, who would come up with such a notion? The Lord? The Holy Spirit? Or the evil spirit? Tell me. Louder, bro.
The evil spirit.
Yes. Yes. I don't believe the Holy Spirit will give you such an excuse not to offer up sacrifices to the Father. And if a person truly needs such a wonderful experience, you can help him in principle, and the Holy Spirit will help you. The anointing will help you to give the proper wording to help this person, right? That's why you have the anointing. Unless you don't have the anointing. Hey, what kind of an argument is that? Why would people come up with such a crazy excuse not to give and bring an offering to the Father? I can't understand this. No. So, forget about all kinds of excuses. You bring to the Father what He wants. The church life is for the Father. It is His house, and He ordered, there you must bring my offerings. What if the chief priest says, no, you don't have to? What if the priest tells you, no, you don't have to? What if the first chief, the second chief, the third chief, the fourth chief priest says you don't have to? And then the assistant priest also said you don't have to. And then the little priest also say you don't have to. And oh my goodness, what are you going to do? But if you cannot offer there, then what kind of a place is that? Is it still Jerusalem? Let me tell you this. I have seen in all the past years what the church was in the beginning may not be the church anymore at the end. Did not the Lord warn the church in Ephesus,
yes,
if you do not repent, I will what?
Remove
the what?
Lampstand.
You think the lampstand is removable? It must be, right? Because the Lord says, if you don't repent, I'll take away the lampstand. Suppose the Lord took away the lampstand, then what's left there?
Darkness.
At least I know what's left there is no longer his house. Whatever it is, I don't know. But I don't care to know what it was.
Yeah.
We need to really see what the word says and apply it today.
Amen.
And apply it today. Right? That is why you have to get into Leviticus to know all of these offerings so that you will know what to prepare for the Father. And if you prepare a burnt offering, dear brother, what's wrong with saying, Father, I bring to you a burnt offering, an ox or a sheep?
Amen.
Is that wrong? Is it really wrong? Are you mad at somebody who says, Father, I bring you a burnt offering? Why do you have to say that?
That's ridiculous.
You're right. Who is ridiculous? You or me?
Whoever is saying that it's wrong to do that.
Yeah. Whoever is saying that you shouldn't do that is ridiculous. He's strange. Yeah. Why should I be mad at you if you say I'm going to bring a burnt offering to the Father? Why? No, let me tell you. Who is really interested to stop us from bringing an offering to worship the Father? Exactly. The devil. I don't know of anybody else who would be really interested to stop us from bringing offering and sacrifices as worship to the Father. And those who are one with him, probably, will do the same thing. Right. The enemy is the adversary, preventing God's people from obeying the Father. The more he opposes, the more we should do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Don't you agree with me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, I found somebody who agrees. Oh, the more the snake want to oppose, I tell you, the more I have the joy and the encouragement and the boldness to do it. Don't you? That makes two of us now. That's right. That's why. Let us all learn to do it in a perfect way.
Amen.
Not in a loose way, but in a diligent way. To learn to bring a burnt offering to the Father. To learn to bring a wonderful meal offering to the Father.
Amen.
I don't care if people are against it. Hey, why are you mad? I'm not bringing it to you. Yeah, and if I bring a meal offering and you're mad, I'm not going to give you anything to eat. Then you have no right to eat. That means you don't appreciate it and you don't want to eat it, so hey, don't eat it. It's your business. It's up to you. But we all need to learn. The first two are very, very positive and what will satisfy the Father. The last two is to meet your need because it's negative. Right. So then we'll have the peace offering with God and with man. That's what a peace offering is, in the middle. Right. This is very logical. This is according to our experience. This is according to the experience. Right. So learn. Learn to see this and get into it. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Yes.